Coming up on KUCB News, Unalaska welcomes one trooper while saying goodbye to another, and biologists announce fishing restrictions at Wisloe. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You are listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Monday, July 2nd, 2018. Unalaska's budget is in good shape as fiscal year 2018 comes to a close. Finance Director Clay Darnell says the city has already banked a surplus of $7.5 million, a number that's expected to grow as his department crunches the final figures for June.
We project that we'll be at $7.8 million, so we're really doing good. We're at approximately $4.6 million better than we anticipated to be at the end of the year.
Darnell says the surplus is a result of conservative spending on top of an already conservative financial plan. Every city department is under budget through May, putting Unalaska on track to spend just 84% of estimated expenditures. Darnell says that'll more than offset a 1% dip in revenue brought on by underperforming seafood taxes. Projections show that Unalaska's raw seafood tax and Alaska's resource tax will generate almost $2 million less than expected. That should not come as a surprise, though, after several fisheries saw low quotas. And Darnell says that modest increases in investment earnings, electric utilities, and port income will help to protect the city's surplus. Last week, we reported that Unalaska's Wildlife Trooper post is shrinking due to state budget constraints, and today we bring you more on the two enforcement officers affected, one who is leaving the island this month and another who's just getting settled. The former is Damian Lopez-Plancarte, who has worked as a public safety technician for the last 2 years. He's resigning just as his job is being phased out.
I'm going to be going into the military, enlisting in the Army. I'm trying to be a helicopter pilot, so I'm excited.
While the bulk of Lopez-Plancarte's work has focused on fishing regulations, he's probably best known as Unalaska's Eagle Guy. He's been the first responder when community members report injured or aggressive bald eagles.
Which actually I'm going to miss for sure, but I'm passing off the torch now to two ladies over at the Fish and Game office.
So we don't need to worry.
You don't need to worry. There will be two eagle whisperers on the island.
Most of Lopez-Plancarte's other responsibilities will be picked up by the island's new wildlife trooper, who filled the vacant post in May. Alex Arduzer is originally from Anchorage, and he served with the troopers for 17 years in Aniak, Cordova, and Soldotna. He says he took the job in Unalaska in search of a new adventure with his wife and two children.
Town's bigger than I expected, more spread out, and a lot more driving than I'm used to. Everyone seems friendly and, like, here to work and pretty focused, I guess.
As the only trooper, Arduzer says he's still figuring out what his workload will look like, but he expects to focus on commercial and sport fishing enforcement.
Just try to be fair and consistent. That's about it. Learn what's going on here. So, been doing it a long time, but also there's plenty to learn every time you get to a new place.
Arduzer has made no specific time commitments, but he says his family plans to live here for several years. His job will begin in earnest when he returns from Bristol Bay, where Unalaska's troopers are helping police the busy commercial salmon fishery. Meanwhile, Lopez-Plancarte's job will officially end when that season is over. And in Unalaska, fishermen cannot take salmon at McLees Lake within 500 yards of the river mouth. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game issued that reminder yesterday when the restriction went into effect. Biologist Lisa Fox says it'll last through next Monday, July 9th.
It is around the average peak time of that run. So if the run comes in as a normal run, that should protect the peak of the run.
This summer marks the first time in 18 years that Fish and Game has not monitored the Wisloe run with a weir. That means managers can't adjust restrictions if the run peaks late or collect detailed data on one of the island's most popular spots for subsistence fishing. Fox says the department wasn't able to secure funding for the weir after its longtime grant expired.
We're still hoping to get funding next year. Hopefully this is just a one-year off kind of thing.
She says Fish and Game is exploring funding options with the Federal Office of Subsistence Management and local entities like the City of Onalaska and the Kawalungan Tribe. They're also considering the possibility of lower-cost drone surveys. Until next summer, though, Fox says fishermen should abide by the white markers identifying Wisloe's closed waters. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy announced last week that he's retiring. That means President Donald Trump will have the chance to nominate another new member for the nation's highest court. APRN's Lori Townsend spoke with Washington, D.C. correspondent Liz Ruskin about how the court's future direction could rest on the shoulders of Senator Lisa Murkowski, as well as her colleague, Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins.
Hi, Liz.
Hey, Lori.
So, Liz, why are all eyes on Murkowski right now?
So, basically, you've got a closely divided Senate, and if the Democrats unite to oppose a nominee, the Republicans won't be able to lose a single vote and still win that confirmation. Murkowski is on many issues the swing vote. She usually votes with Republicans, but sometimes on certain issues, she votes with the Democrats. And one of those issues is abortion. President Trump has promised that whoever he nominates will oppose Roe v. Wade. The two Republicans who typically vote for abortion rights, those are Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins. So all eyes on them.
Well, there is some legislative track record here. Murkowski and Collins both showed they're willing to buck their party when they voted against the attempt to repeal the Affordable Care Act last year.
Right, exactly. They and John McCain, they crossed the aisle to sink that repeal effort. And it's interesting because the other big vote last year after the so-called skinny repeal was the tax bill. And Republican leadership in the Senate, they pretty much made it impossible for Murkowski to defect on that bill because ANWR was in it. That's opening the Arctic Refuge to oil drilling, something she has wanted forever. So some of the speculation that I'm hearing now is, will Murkowski get something big to encourage her vote for the next justice? And what might that thing be? This is the power of the swing vote. It can be a very powerful position. It was for Justice Kennedy, and Senator Murkowski is in that same swing position in the Senate.
So, Liz, what is Senator Murkowski saying about that?
She sent out a statement saying that she would scrutinize the nominee's qualifications and cast an independent vote. She used that word, independent vote. It seemed like the message was that Republicans shouldn't take her vote for granted. But I should also point out, Murkowski voted last year for Justice Gorsuch. And I can only actually find three justices that she voted against, Kagan, Sotomayor, and Breyer, and they were all appointed by Democratic presidents.
Well, that is interesting to examine that record. Has she ever voted to confirm a Democratic nominee for the Supreme Court?
Yes, at least one. That's RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, appointed by Clinton.
So, Liz, for President Trump's next nominee, does it really come down to Murkowski and Collins?
Not necessarily, because it's not clear that all the Democrats will oppose the nominee. We've got several who are up for re-election this year in red states, states that Trump won heavily. Three Democrats last year voted for Justice Gorsuch. There's plenty of possibility of Democrats who might vote with the Republicans and confirm President Trump's next nominee.
That was Washington, D.C. correspondent Liz Ruskin speaking with APRN's Lori Townsend. Meanwhile, the Senate has confirmed Alaskan Tara McLean Sweeney as the Assistant Interior Secretary for Indian Affairs. Sweeney is the first Alaska Native to become an Assistant Interior Secretary. From Anchorage and Ukiagvik, she is an executive at the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation and a past co-chair of the Alaska Federation of Natives. In her new federal role, Sweeney will oversee the Bureaus of Indian Affairs and Indian Education. The Senate's confirmation last week was agreement by unanimous consent. And we have a correction for a story that aired Thursday about the Supreme Court decision ruling that non-union public employees can no longer be forced to contribute to union finances. In that story from KTOO in Juneau, a supporter of the decision, Jeremy Price, director of Americans for Prosperity Alaska, said that workers would no longer be forced to pay for a union's political activity. That was actually never the case. Fees from non-union members have only paid for costs toward collective bargaining, not political activities. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.